Good evening, everyone. It is a joy for my dear wife Maria and myself to be here. I'm very humbled by this. But I am convinced of one thing, that God is with us. A few years ago, I heard and I read from three different sources that in the Bible there are 365 fear nots. So I looked and I wrote everyone down. And I came up with maybe 213. I look harder. And in the process of looking and searching and even asking the help of my brother-in-law who has a PhD, asking him for help, and he looked too. But in the process, that's all right, looking for things like that. And maybe it's a different translation, maybe in different languages more, I don't know. That doesn't matter. I found two things. Every fear not coming from God's heart has two ingredients. One of them is the fear of God, and the other one is God is with us. There's one man in the Bible who was full of fear. He was ridden with fear. Now, never once did God give him a fear not. Anybody know who it was? A young man once gave him a fear not. Well, a kind of modified fear not. Anybody know who it was? King Saul, that's right. King Saul. He never got a fear not. But he was ridden. He was full of fear. And so I am very blessed to know that I know God is with me. And I stand here before you, looking to God to show me what He would like me to speak on. And Brother Moles basically said it. Lord willing, I want to encourage you as Christians. I want to encourage you. Before I go on, let's just bow in prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you for this evening. Thank you for this opportunity that you have given me to speak, to share what you've laid upon my heart. And I pray for two things. I pray that you would give me utterance, that I can speak clearly, make it plain, make it understandable. And I pray for each of these dear brothers and sisters and all the rest that are here, that you would open their hearts by your Spirit and minister to them. Lord, you know exactly where they are at. You know if there's anybody here that has fear. You know if anybody here that has lots of questions and doesn't know which way to turn. God, you can minister to them as well. I pray that you would. So I pray that you would be right here in our midst, cover this place with your holy blood, and we will thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, I have to start making a confession. I've been a teacher for many years, for more than 30 years in the public school. And one thing that in which I failed as a teacher was I often made assumptions. I assumed that my grade 6 students knew how to divide, and so before I would teach them long division. And then I found out they didn't know their multiplication table or whatever else. And then I had to backtrack and I had to back up and back up. I don't know you people. I know some of you just a little bit. Most of you are strange to me. But I'm assuming that you are the church, that you represent the church, that you represent the body of Christ, and that I, as the speaker, I take responsibility for every word that I say. And you, as the listener, will have to bear the responsibility for every word that you hear. And that the way you came in tonight is not the way you will go out. You will leave different. I'm indeed in love with the Word of God, and I appreciate the words of Micaiah in 2 Chronicles 18, verse 13. Micaiah said, "As the Lord liveth, even what my God saith, that will I speak." That's the cry of my heart, that I will say those things. And then also Psalm 81, verse 10, which was the favorite verse of George Mueller. Psalm 81, verse 10. "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it." I want God to fill my mouth. I want to say those things that will encourage you. My message for this evening could be entitled, "Courage, brother. Courage, sister." Meaning, I want to cheer you on. I want to encourage you. I want to drill it into your minds, into your hearts, that we need to be men and women of courage. In order to do that, I am here to encourage you. To encourage you, and that means to inspire or to hearten with spirit, with hope, with courage, to spur on and to give help in your walk. It's very important that each one of us has courage, and this is a very fundamental truth in all this. I cannot encourage anybody unless I have personal courage, unless my own heart is truly standing upon the Word of God, and that I am encouraged by God Himself. That I have a vital relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, I cannot reach out to anybody. Very important that we realize age has nothing to do with this. Young men, you can reach out to an older man, to an older brother, to an older sister, and encourage them. Age has nothing to do with it. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. Be thou an example. And then it says all the things, and that's what we need to do. We need to reach out to encourage others in the things of God. We need to, and you cannot, and if you are miserable, you cannot encourage somebody else. If you're miserable, if you're negative, you'll do the opposite. You're going to discourage others. And you'll do the devil's work in that. So my questions to you are, do you walk with God? Do you have a personal walk with God? These are questions you should ask yourself. Do you personally love the Lord Jesus Christ? Did you tell Him today that you love Him? Did you tell Him, "Lord Jesus, I love You"? Amen. You know, that's personal between me and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's nothing to show off at all. But it's what I think of Him and what He does, what He is in my life. Are you totally convinced that your sins are forgiven? That your sins from the past, as black and as dark and as evil as they may seem, they are gone. Amen. Do you know this book? Do you know this book, the Bible? Do you love this book? I was so blessed. My dear wife and I were so blessed as we flew down here today. That God was with us was no doubt. As I was driving on the way, we had about an hour's drive to the airport. On highway. Nice highway. It was dark. We were praying there would be no deer. As I was driving, a little thought came to my mind. In the nick of time. In the nick of time. I thought, I brushed it out of my mind. I thought, what does that mean? Why do I think of that right now? As we came to that railroad crossing, there stood a train. Stood on the train. Stood on the track. I drove back to the next crossing. Blocked. The train was there too, and the next crossing. Three crossings. So we had to drive around 20 miles, including at least half of it on gravel road, between High Bush. Now we were late. We got to the airport with 20 seconds to spare. The lady that checked us in said, "You have 20 seconds left to check in your bags." That's it. If we would have been half a minute later, they would have turned us back. I don't understand. But then, we often ask, my dear wife and I, when we fly, we often look, we go through these busy airports, and we wonder, where are the Christians? We look at the masses of people, and we say, where are the Christians? Once in a while, we're blessed to meet up with believers. One time, my wife and I were sitting around and waiting for the next plane, looking around, and all of a sudden I thought, what's that man doing over there? Look over there. What's he doing? What's he reading? Doesn't it look like the Bible? Yeah. Wow, you don't see that very often. Here he had a big Bible open in his lap and he was reading. Boy, that was fresh to go over him and talk to him and fellowship with him. Today in the plane, on the last flight here, across from us were two believers, and then the next in front were another two believers, and it was very precious to tell them, at least especially the young couple, make this book, be people of the book, be a man of the book, love the Word of God. Because this is something very, very precious. You spend time in the Word of God, you will love it. You will realize this is God's Word to you. And so, I want to encourage you. It's not that I have reached, that I've attained, but I'm a pilgrim walking in the same path that you're walking, brothers and sisters. My wife as well, and we are encouraging you. We want to cheer you on, and you go further than us, that's great, but we want to cheer you on. Let's not give up. Amen. The tendency is for people to give up. People all over. America, Canada, Europe, Africa, South America, Asia, Australia, people are giving up. What's the use? I'm not going to be a Christian any longer. There's no use in trusting in the Lord. There's hope. I want to give up, and I'm going to give up, and I'm just going to live for the world. I'm going to live for the flesh. I'm going to live for the devil. People are doing that so many places. Why is it? Because they are not Christian brothers and sisters beside them and say, "Hey, brother, hey, little brother, look at this. Look at this, what the Bible says. I'm going to encourage you in this. Hey, sister here, look at this. I'm going to pray for you. How can I pray for you?" We need to do that. We need to help one another along.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
God has called us to the ministry of encouragement.
Amen.
So I want to encourage you in that way. My goal for you is that you will leave different than you came. The fact of the matter is that you will. My longing is that your inner man will be built up. And that's really what this is all about. Your inner man. The inner man. That's the place. The inner man is the place that makes a difference whether you have courage or you have fear. Whether you are bold, whether you are afraid. Whether you are willing to step out in faith and reach out to somebody and speak to him or her. If your inner man is right. How's the inner man? How's it deep down inside that nobody sees? We're all good at putting on good fronts. We can put something on our face, make it look real nice. But our inner man, how's it there? How are you doing there, brother, sister? And your inner man, how are you? I want to look at five wise. Well, it's not the right word. Five reasons why we need to be encouraged. Five reasons why we need to be encouraged. Five underlying reasons why we need to be daily built up. Five facets of the present state of things, and Brother Moses already has touched on some of them, unknowingly. But God made him say that. And then, that's tonight, those five things. And then, tomorrow night, and Sunday morning, and Sunday night, I want to look at what is the purpose of being encouraged. In Ephesians 1, three times it says, to the praise of His glory. That's the basic, that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line of being encouraged. To the praise of the glory of His grace. So Lord willing, I want to touch on those things and other evenings. And just to touch on them very briefly, one of them is to be mature. Another one of them is to be strong. Another one is to be one. Another one is to be ready. And there are others, but I want to encourage you especially in these. That's the purpose we're here. We as Christians live a teleological life, not a cyclical life. Most people in the world, they live a cyclical life. They live for the weekend, bang, Monday comes again. Then they're flat out, and then it just goes around and around and around. That's how life goes. The Christian has a goal, a purpose. See, and that's a straight line. That's on a map. It's a straight line, and it goes up, and it goes. Some might say, oh, my life is up and down like this. Well, it shouldn't be, really. You might have some little bumps in the road, true, but your life should be going upward. You should be able to look back upon your Christian life and say, by the grace of God, I have grown in His love and His mercy and His judgment. I am today further than I was. By the grace of God, you should be able to say that. That you are not the same place where you were 20 years ago. Or 10 years ago. Or half a month. Or half a year ago. But it's by the grace of God. Nothing for myself. But today, tonight, I want to look at underlying reasons why we need to be daily built up in the Lord through His Word and by His Spirit. So number one, we have an adversary. We have an enemy. And as Christians that walk by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and realizing that we cannot walk by feelings, we cannot trust to how we feel, but I must walk by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I realize I have an enemy. It's a fight of faith. It's a fight of faith. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. 1 Peter chapter 5. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walks about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us into eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Much more in that verse 10, I can't really touch on it right now, but verse 8 to 9 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and he devours Christians left and right. And this is how I perceive he devours Christians. When you fall into a sin, or not say, let's not use the word fall, let's say you slip, or you let slip an impatient word and you get impatient with your children or with your wife because they're not hurrying up as much as you want them to hurry up, and because you want to get to the meeting on time or you want to go here somewhere else on time, and you get impatient. And you realize, oh, I failed. You confess it to the Lord. You make it right with your family. The devil has gained no ground, none. You make it right away. Keep short accounts. The devil devours like this when you make a slip, when you fall, or you commit a sin and you say, oh, I did it again. Oh. And you say, what's the use? Then the devil realizes that's what I want to hear. And then he's ready to devour. And he devours with discouragement and with defeat. And when he sees a Christian that is down, he makes sure that he stays down by pouring in all kinds of doubts and pouring, oh, you're not a Christian anyways. Why? Just might as well just give up. And then, it's a very crucial time. Seeking whom he may devour. That's why we as Christians, we that walk in victory, we need to reach out and encourage others. That's why we need to say, courage, brother. Courage, sister. Take courage. Back in Acts chapter 28, I believe it's verse 15, the last chapter. This is where the account where the Apostle Paul comes. He has now landed on the coast of Italy, and he's walking together under Julius the centurion with his soldiers and all these prisoners that have led up in their chains up the coast towards Rome. And they come to a little place. I think it's called Three Taverns. And here Christians met him. And when Paul saw them, he took courage.
That's right.
He took courage. Here was this mighty apostle. Here was this mighty man of God. What kind of Christian? Doesn't say what kind they were. But they met him. And he took courage. They were at the right place at the right time. Maybe they said something. Said, oh, God bless you, brother. Maybe they didn't say very much at all. But they encouraged him. That's what we need to do. William Gurnall, Puritan writer, says this about their adversary. He says, he is a cowardly enemy, though he sets a bold face on it. In tempting, he carries a fearful heart in his breast, as a thief is afraid of every light or any noise he hears. So Satan is discouraged when he finds the soul awake and in a posture to oppose him. We need to realize that. We need to realize to be awake, be alert, to be sober, to be vigilant means to be awake. The adversary trembles when we are in a posture to oppose him, to resist him. He's out to defeat, to discourage, to bring you to a veil of depression, so you will give up in your Christian walk or in a certain discipline in your life, make you cynical, make you careless, make you cold, make you drift. Don't do it. Watch. Be sober. Be sober. In the book of Ezra, the people of the land, that's in Ezra chapter 4, 3 to 5, the people of the land, they weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. And then in chapter 5, Zechariah and Haggai, two mighty prophets, encouraged them, and they resumed their building, and no matter what the enemy said, they encouraged them, and they kept on. What a precious thing. Let us do that. Let's not be negative. Let's not be down on others, but let us encourage people and let's pray for one another. Number 2, we have temptations and trials. Turn to James chapter 1. We have temptations. We have trials. They come our way. And God allows them in us. And it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, that endureth trial, that endureth affliction, that endureth hardship. We have. Our temptations are common to man, but we get them nonetheless. Our trials take form, take shape in troubles. Ian Bounds has said something like this. Trouble and prayer are closely related to each other. Trouble often drives people to God in prayer. God's hand is in every trouble that breaks into the lives of people. No trouble is ever turned loose in this world and comes into the life of saint or sinner that does not come with God's permission. Trouble is not punishment. Trouble is not punishment. So when I'm working with my tractor and my wagon and when the hitch breaks, that's not punishment. That's not punishment. Let us settle down at once to the idea that trouble does not come by chance or by what people call accident. Nothing more truly shows us our helplessness than when trouble comes. It brings the strong person low. It discloses our weakness. I know it has done it in my life. To rise above those things and to realize, yes, this is something that God allows. I know one brother, how he tried to turn around his semi-truck on the freeway, and he snapped the U-joint, and he was stuck right in the middle, and he just laughed. That, oh God, what new thing are you trying to do next? Or another man who was working with a big payloader and a big paper in a big factory, and was outside, and he was underneath, and he looked at the payloader, he looked underneath, and uh-oh, and he just started laughing as he lay there underneath in the snow looking at the payloader, and somebody asked, "Why are you laughing?" He said, "You wouldn't understand anyway." He was laughing to himself. Like, I don't know how I'll ever get through this day, God. I don't know how I'll ever get through this day. But somehow you will make it possible. And he told me later, he said, "You know, John, it was amazing. I got through that day in the easiest of times. God just blessed." When we're able to look at trouble as a test, not as punishment. God is with us even in those times as well. So we have temptation. We need to be encouraged. Trouble brings to us a desire and a real dependence upon the Lord. Patience. But you know, it can do the opposite thing. Trouble can bring out of us impatience. Trouble can bring out of us sin. Then what? How do we react then? And how do I affect my family if I allow bad words to come out of my mouth? Then it's not just defiling myself, but then I'm defiling others. Woe to me. So let us beware. But let us take courage, brother and sister. Trouble comes. Trouble God allows. There's no such thing as chance. Students often said to me, "Mr. Lowen," before the test, "Mr. Lowen, wish me luck." Forget it. You put a P in front of the word luck, I wish you that, but not luck. And that gives you pluck. What is pluck? Courage. You know, but no, there's no such thing as luck, and I don't wish you that at all. You need courage. To write a test, you need courage. I wish you that. You do your best. God directs every cloud. He knows every sparrow that falls. That's not just in America. That's in China. That's in Japan. That's in Lisbon, Portugal as well. That's in Moscow, Russia as well. Every sparrow that falls, he knows. He knows. He's in charge of all those things. Number three, we have something in our lives that we could call thistles. Let's turn to Luke 8, 14 and 15. Here it speaks about the soils, the Word of God falling in different soils. And here it says in verse 14, "And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection," or "no fruit to maturity. But that on the good ground are they which in honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. The thistles in our lives and the thorns in our lives, they grow, and when we do not take care of them, they grow over the little tender plants that come as a result of having heard the Word of God, of been sitting under the teaching of God's Word, of having spent time in God's Word in the morning and being blessed by the precious promises of God's Word. And I am not careful, then the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life take the form of thistles and thorns and quack grass and all that thing, and it crowds out and I don't bear fruit as it should. That's what it does. How does a person get cares? It works like this. I get cares by every convenience that I have. We have cares. It is inevitable that you and I will have cares. But we have to cast our cares upon Him. We have to cast upon Him. Tomorrow, got to do it again. The next day, do it again. And those conveniences I have may be in the form of a fridge. That is a care. That is a care. That's what Buck Singh said to my friend when my friend preached in Buck Singh's church in Hyderabad, India. Buck Singh was a mighty man of God whom my wife and I were privileged to meet a number of years ago early in our marriage. He has gone to be with the Lord now. And those people, they sat without benches. They sat on a cement floor on the mats. They sat there for 3 or was it 4 hours straight listening to message after message. And they just listened eagerly. And then after that, they went out witnessing to the streets of Hyderabad. And then later they had more messages. And my friend said, how can these people do it? And then Buck Singh said, that's very simple to understand. They don't have cares like you do. They don't have cars and they don't have fridges. Those are the two things he said. And we look at those things, and of course, maybe in India you can get by without cars. Not in North America. And maybe not fridges either. We need those things. But as I thought about it, it is conveniences that I have. They turn into cares. And I need to cast them upon the Lord. I can be all overwhelmed with my daily responsibilities. But it's so precious to cast them upon the Lord. Let Him be in charge of those things. We're so good excusing ourselves for what we allow in our lives. So where we're overwhelmed and we seem like we're drowning under these cares of these, whatever it may be, the riches and the pleasures. And there's such a tendency to choke at the Word. And because of that, we need to encourage one another to go back to the Word of God. We encourage one another, cast your burden upon the Lord. Cast your care upon the Lord. It matters to Him. It matters to Him. Number 4, Luke 21. Luke 21, verse 34. We are in the ever-tightening tentacles or clutches of a snare. And this is almost the same thing as cares and riches and pleasures, but it's a little bit different. Luke 21, verse 34 to 36. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. For as a snare shall it come upon all the earth. It appears to me, you correct me if I'm wrong, it appears to me there is a snare coming upon the face of this earth. I sense it in even little town of Stratton, 150 people, 120, 150 people. There is a snare. Something happened yesterday in our town of Stratton that shook everybody to their boots. It was just a small town. We have a nice little tire shop. We buy gas. Young man owns and runs a shop. He does a very good job. Sells tires. Yesterday, he worked on a tire. It must have been a truck tire or a skidder tire or a tractor tire. It blew up in his face and killed him instantly. Everybody knows Sean. From miles and miles around. We've been praying for our town, Stratton. God, will you speak to our town? Speak to our neighbors. Bring them to yourself. Help them to see their sin. Help them to see their need of a Savior. It's going to speak to his dad. His dad is a very proud man, a Freemason. We pray. I prayed for this Kenny McDonald for years and years. So did my family. We prayed for them for years and years. Oh, that they would wake up. But that snare, oh, even in that tunnel, town of Stratton, everywhere you can sense that it's a tightening snare. And we as Christians, if we're not awake and if we're not encouraged, we will allow ourselves to be ensnared by this ever-tightening noose. Just like snare wire that boys might use to catch a rabbit on a trail, you know, and it just with every struggle it gets tighter and tighter. It chokes. Romans chapter 12 verse 21 says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." That snare is like an evil influence that works, and we need to overcome evil with good. We go around and encourage one another, encourage Christians. We are building the church by God's grace. By the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, He said He will build His church. We are His workers. We are working together with Christ. And we encourage one another. Let us not give up, brothers and sisters. Let us not fall prey to this snare. But let us remain true to Him. I beg you, let us not give up. Like the story of the dove in it lived close to a coal bin, and it was always white, and it never got black, and it was a white dove, and it was always pure white. And somebody said, "How can that be? I don't understand. How can that dove stay so nice and white?" And somebody said, "Well, it's because that oil that's underneath the wing, it keeps emitting an oil, and it's like a cleansing oil, and it keeps white all the time." And so that's what we need. We need the oil of the Holy Spirit to be in us, that keeps us, that the cleansing going, always a cleansing. The one verse that I often think of when I think of the rat race we're in, and everything is supposed to go faster, and everything's supposed to be done quicker, and everything's supposed to save me more time, and I have less time all the time. That's at least what's happening up there. I'm not sure how you're down here, but in Philippians chapter 4 it says, "Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." The Lord is coming. Let your moderation. Do things in moderation. Let your moderation be known to all men. Number 5, we have heresies in our midst. We have false teachings. And it seems more and more false teachings are coming up all around us. I'm not speaking about cults. I'm not speaking about sex. I'm speaking about false teachings that come up within the church. Yes. It shakes me when I think of what Paul said to the Ephesian elders as he said farewell to them. He says, "Out of your own midst will men arise speaking perverse things." He didn't say people will come from outside bringing in false teaching. Out of from your own selves will men arise. And I look around at my little church. We're just a very small church. Maybe 8, maybe 9 families. Who would fall prey to coming in with a teaching that is not right? It's my job to go and encourage the brothers to stay true to the Lord, to be faithful. Heresy. The word heresy means a choice. It means disunion. So quickly, a man or a woman goes aside and draws people away from the Word of God. And it happens just because one doctrine is emphasized above another or at the expense of another doctrine. For example, when the doctrine of the Spirit of God and the Spirit's authority is taken over the Word of God, and beyond the Word of Christ. And people say, you have to listen to the Spirit, and even if what the Spirit tells you, you have no basis for in the Word of God, you better listen to the Spirit. Beware. Beware. That's why. That's why it's so terribly important, brothers and sisters, that we are lovers of God's Word. That we immerse ourselves in God's Word. That we soak ourselves in God's Word.
Amen.
We know what this says. This is my rule of faith. That's what I stand on. Along with that, we go too, is that I need to stay accountable to my brothers and sisters. I need to realize, if I fail, if I do something, I want you brothers and sisters to tell me. Another one is, where modesty rules over a close walk with God. Where people say, you got to be modest, and that's it. And a close walk with God is not emphasized. And it becomes a dead religion. We got to emphasize a real love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I walk with God. And people will realize it. And you can be amongst people and not even say a word. And they will be convicted. Because there's reality in your life. So often, it's just plain old jealousy or envy at work. One Christian is envious of another for whatever silly reason. Maybe one person has a nicer yard and they allow themselves to be overcome with jealousy, with envy, and then they start talking evil about the other person. Why? That happens so much. Oh, brothers, sisters, people, please, let's stay with the Word of God. Let's allow the Word of God to search us. Like the psalmist says, search me and try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. Let's not be drawn aside. Let's not become covetous. Let's not desire the things that my brother or my sister has on his yard or in his possessions. In his house. But let us have a hunger after the things of God. Now I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. I want to, the last part of my message for today, and I want to do this tomorrow and maybe the next day as well. I want to encourage you with the Word of God. I want to share some promises from God's Word with you. But before we do that, I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 1 and I want to read verses 1 to 6. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Then verse 6. To understand a proverb, and I might say to understand a promise as well. And interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Dark does not mean without lights. Dark means a word, a promise, a verse that has a knot. K-N-O-T, a knot that needs to be untied, needs to be loosed so you can get the gist of it. It means a sententious maxim. It means to have a pithy principle. I asked some groups, do you know what pith is? Any of you boys know what pith is? Young man, do you know what pith is?
Would be like the inside of a cornstalk.
Oh, you're right on. Very good. That's excellent. That's right. The inside of any stem, like an alfalfa stem too, the inside, if it has pith, there's that little waste stuff inside. A farmer has told me that if you spread chemical fertilizer on a field, then you have stems without pith. But if you use organic fertilizer, then you have pith. A principle that has pith has substance, has a point to it. Now turn to Job chapter 12 verse 5 for an example. Job chapter 12 verse 5. I was a teacher, and I have that teaching mentality is always in me, so you have to forgive me if I maybe put you on the spot. But Job 12 verse 5, it says this. One weekend we were camping as a family with all our married children and our children, and I said, okay, and I shared this thing with them, and I said, okay, I want you to find pithy verses for me. And so during the weekend they had to look and they had to search and they had to find a verse like this one. And this is the one I shared with them. He that is ready to slip with his feet is as a lamb despised, and the thought of him that is at ease. Explain that verse. And you go into that, you really dwell on that verse. It's an example of a verse that you really have to dwell on, and it comes out with some very precious truth. And that's like a knot that has to be untied. And promises are in the same way. When you read a promise and you just read over the promise, you just surface read something, you don't get the point. You miss out. So, the Word of God is so rich, it is so powerful, you take a promise and you read it and you stop. Hey, what does this really say? What does it really say? Take turn, for example, to Isaiah 40 verse 31. Job 12 verse 5, I'm not going to explain. I'm going to rather let the fathers explain it to their families at home sometime. Okay? You can do that. And if you have any questions, you can come to me. But for now, let's turn to Isaiah 40 verse 31. Very well known verse. Very well known verse. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Dwell upon that verse. It's a marvelous promise. We often hear it said. We see it in walls. We see it on plaques. We see it all over. It's a beautiful verse. But dwell on it. What's it say? They that wait upon the Lord. To wait there means to bind together like twisting. You wait upon the Lord. I mean, you don't just wait on the Lord like you wait in a waiting room. I mean, you hold unto the Lord and you cling unto him. You cleave unto him. You're not going to let him go. You wait on him. And then it says, they shall renew their strength. It's going to bring forth new buds and new leaves when you renew your strength. And you will mount up with wings as eagles. How do eagles mount up with wings? You have eagles around here?
Yes.
You do. We do too. Around our place. One day I was up behind the barn and I was looking up and I saw this eagle way up there and he was just flying around. And he was not flapping his wings at all. He was just flying around and around. He was way up in the sky. All of a sudden he took off towards the north. And he never flapped his wings. How could he do that? Incredible. Mount up with wings as eagles. Seemed to be effortless. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Take a verse. Stand upon it. Bring it before the Lord. Say, Lord, this is what it says. This is what it means. Lord, you gave me this verse. This is not man-made. You have given me this verse. I stand upon this. I claim this for myself. I claim this for my wife. I claim this for my daughter, for my son. Claim it. Stand upon it. Verses like these, promises like these, are here for us to stand upon, to claim, to keep for ourselves. Again and again and again. Turn to Hebrews 9 verse 24. Hebrews 9 verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. This is one verse, and I have a Bible with wide margin. Whenever I find a verse that tells me very plainly that God is with us, I write in the margin, God with us. And that's one verse where I wrote that. This is a verse that tells me that God is with me. It says, now to appear in the presence of God for us, for me, for me. I go back, for example, to Romans chapter 8. If God be for us, who can be against us? Or maybe the other way around. If, you know, but that's a verse that we can stand upon and rest on.
That's right.
And that's how we can encourage others. You find courage yourself, you go to the fountain, you drink deeply. Then you bring a brother, tell him to drink. You encourage him. That's what I desire for you. And then, even like it says in Ezra chapter 7, verse 27, 28, it says, though shared by another pilgrim, it is the hand of God which will strengthen you through the promises given you. So though another brother comes and encourages you and points you here, for example, to Hebrews 9, verse 24, or points you to another marvelous promise found in Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24, a marvelous promise, and he shares with you, it is the hand of God through that other brother that brings you to that fountain, to that richness, and you can drink and be satisfied and find your satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, that's what I want to leave with you tonight. But you know, again, like I said at the onset, if there, or as maybe I didn't say it clearly enough, if there is sin in anyone's life, you cannot encourage anyone. You will do the opposite. And so, if there's anyone here that is harboring a resentment, and you cannot freely forgive another person, or there's anything else that stands between you and God, clear it up. Have somebody pray with you. But get it right. Because I would desire that every one of us could be used of God to reach out to another soul, to encourage them, to point them along. Say, brother, courage! There's the gate up there. Let's keep going. Let's not give up. May God bless you and keep you in His precious care. Let us stand to pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so very, very much for your precious word. Lord, for giving it to us in our own language, that we can read, that we can understand by the grace of God. Father, I pray that you would reach out to each of these dear souls and you would meet their need. God, you know where each one is at in their pilgrimage. Father, you know where there's things in their lives they have to lay aside. You know where there's possibly weights that weigh them down and they drag their feet because it's hard. Father, I pray that they would have the courage to lay it down. And if not, that some other brother or sister could see it and make their way to that brother or sister and help them. Oh God, I pray. May we be faithful. May we be true in reaching out to others about us, to encourage them, to strengthen their hand. I pray. Even as Jonathan did to David. I pray that. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. Thank you so much, Brother John. My heart has been encouraged tonight. I hardly know which part of the message more than the other, but altogether it has certainly done that very thing that you intended for it to be. It is so necessary today that we encourage one another and help each other going on, going forward, and not looking back. I'd like to open it up. Maybe someone just like to express themselves or make a confession or ask for prayer, just get to your feet and speak up so we can all hear. We do have a microphone. Yeah, someone needs a microphone. Just raise your hand. We'll get you a microphone. Let you share. Up here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd just like to say thank you, Brother John. I needed that. God bless you, and thank you for coming.
Amen. I did too. Yes. Someone else. Right here, David, Brother Harold.
I've been asking God to work in my heart. I didn't know these meetings were going to be until the way up here from Haiti. And early in the day, I thought I was too tired to come, but I wanted to come. God's Spirit is so faithful. When I think about, I feel like my heart was getting cold and my life was being impatient with the Haitian people, and that the snares that come from the proper cares of life. So I just want to thank God.
Amen.
For speaking to my heart.
Amen.
I want to humble myself and say, pray for me. I want to be faithful. I want to have a life that's clear and pure and true. The time is short, and I just thank God for the privilege I can be here to hear God's word.
Amen.
Let it speak to my heart. Bless you all.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Harold. Amen.
I was really blessed by the message this evening, and
yes.
I don't know, it was a week and a half or so ago, I was found myself very discouraged, and I found myself very hurt by just different things that had been said and done, and I just found myself just not knowing where to turn, and I was just like, Lord, you've got to help me. You've got
Amen.
To help me to
Amen.
Walk in love and forgiveness, and
yes.
And I'm just very thankful that, you know, God is so faithful.
Yes.
And that when we find
Amen.
Ourselves at our lowest point
Amen.
And discouraged, and that He does lift us up. And I'm very thankful, and I'm looking forward to the rest of the messages this weekend. And I do want to be a blessing and encouragement to others. And I know that if I'm not walking in the light of God's love, and then I can't be a blessing to others.
Yeah.
And
Amen.
I feel that in the last month that I haven't been that blessing and encouragement to others, because I've been finding myself very challenged just to keep my head above water. And
yes.
I do want to trust God, and so you just pray for me.
Amen. God bless you. Missy. Brother Don.
Yeah, I was very blessed with the message tonight. It was perfect timing in my
Amen.
Heart.
Amen.
This week has been a real battle for me. And Tuesday morning, Pam and I were having devotions there, and we started to pray. And I think it was the first time in my Christian life that I couldn't thank the Lord for everything.
Mm-hmm.
As I sat there and cried and tried to muster up faith in my heart to thank the Lord.
Yes.
And eventually I did. It was a battle.
Yes.
And I'm encouraged.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Don. Yeah, we do have those testings. We can't always laugh, can we? Yeah. Amen. Yes, Brother.
I'd like to thank Brother John for taking time to wash us in the Word tonight.
Amen.
It's been very easy for me. Stay away tonight and do other things, but I'm blessed to have been here and encouraged. Praise the Lord.
Yes, praise God. In the back there.
I would just ask you all to pray for me. It's been a difficult time for me last little while. Difficult to stay encouraged, and with that, like John was saying, difficult to encourage people, and pray for me that I could see any sin that's in my life, and to clearly see how that hinders a relationship with God and spending time with Him. So, appreciate the message, John. Thank you.
Yes.
Yes, I was very blessed and encouraged by the message. Thank you, Brother John. And amen. I believe the message is very good for me. And
amen.
I know that's what I need. And just pray for me also that I would be more of encouragement
amen.
In my home. I feel like I'm not very encouraging, you know, sometimes throughout the day. I need your prayers. And yeah, thank you. I was very blessed.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. Yes. Mark.
Yeah, I was appreciated or encouraged by the message as well. I mean, I have felt like I had a good trip to Haiti there. One of the things I was wanting to have done is just to meet with God myself. And I felt like God did meet with me. Felt like work had been just such a drain for the 2 months prior, and I knew my heart was going cold in a lot of ways. I still feel like I'm at a crossroads in life for a lot of ways. I feel, you know, very plugged in here, but just with things like dealing with family, also marriage, as far as, you know, when to marry, who to marry. And just looking at the heaviness of the times ahead, I need a lot of grace. Need to be able to hear the Lord clearly in a lot of ways. And so I would covet your prayers as well.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. Let's lift our brother Mark up in prayer likewise. Anyone else? Close. Yeah, in the back there, Brother Jeff.
Yeah, I really was encouraged tonight. I appreciated the reminder of the snare that is upon the whole world in the Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
There was so much said, you know, you different people I know get different things spoken to them, but that verse in Luke 21 is ever on my thoughts where it says, to pray that you be accounted worthy to escape these things.
Yes.
And to stand before the Son of Man.
Amen.
And that should be a prayer that we pray constantly. Lord,
yes.
Help me to escape. Right. Help me not to fall prey to the snare. The whole world is being swallowed up. The whole world is being destroyed.
Yes.
And God has given us forewarning. He showed us where the trap is.
Right.
We can be delivered. He's for us, the brother said.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We have deliverance. I really am encouraged.
Amen. Our faith rises tonight in light of the Scriptures that we need not to be overwhelmed by the cares of this life. Pleasures, lusts of other things that are not feeding and not assisting us in our walk with God.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.